Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, this is Kevin Kelly, and you are listening to the Stardom Cast.
This is Jesse from Club Venus from Stardom, and you're watching Stardom Cast.
Welcome to the Stardom Cast, your weekly audio source of all things World Wonder Ring Stardom. I'm your host, Rob Gooding. I'm joined, as ever, for the first time in what seems like forever, on the actual correct day, Mr. Matt Turner. Matt, it's Wednesday and we're actually recording.
Yeah, you're actually right. I just realized that it's, I think, the first time in a few weeks we've actually recorded on a Wednesday, just because there was no shows that dropped last week. And the week before was Dream Queendom. So you're right. It feels nice to be back in the groove. And Rob, since we're back in the groove, is it okay with you if I start the show out with a little funny story, sir?
I would love nothing more, Mr. Matt.
So last night, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm doing my EO and Kyrie watch. And my lovely wife is in the other room on a Zoom meeting for church. And obviously, I can't hear the other people, what they're saying, but I can hear what she's saying because she has her headphones in. And she says these words, Rob Goodwin. I want to congratulate our new vice president of the church, Dave Taylor. Now, I'm sure you and anybody else that's been a wrestling fan for over 20 years understood where my mind went. I'm like, oh my goodness, is the new vice president of our church, Squire Dave Taylor, the blue blood, William Regal's former tag partner? Now, obviously, I understand Dave and Taylor is a very common name, especially over here on the where I live in Pennsylvania. However, Rob, I will find out on Wednesday when I go to take my communion, my weekly communion, if there's European uppercuts being thrown and everybody's getting launched with double arm suplexes. So I will keep everybody up to date on if indeed the blue blood himself, Squire Dave Taylor, is the vice president of our church.
Oh, it would be incredible. I imagine more people would attend church if some sort of pro wrestler was there. And to be honest, I can see how this is playing out. And Steve over at Patreon, I could almost read the storyline that he is typing furiously as he's listening to this about the communion giving pro wrestler. But apart from that, my friend, how are you? How has your weekend been? What have you been up to?
I'm great, my man. It is cold. It is cold out. When I left for the gym this morning, it was 10 degrees, which if you're doing the non-metric system, 32 degrees is freezing. So it was 22 degrees colder than freezing. So it is cold. We just got over a snowstorm just yesterday. And then supposedly we have another one coming this weekend. So we really haven't had too much snow over the past 2 years. We really lucked out for usually how much snow this area does get, during snow season. So again, we just had one now, and we got another one coming in supposedly this weekend. So we shall see. I do have to ask you this question, sir, since we're talking about the weather. Are the weathermen in England as wrong as they are over here in Pennsylvania? Because they are wrong like 90% of the time, and somehow they still keep their jobs.
Yeah, I've never known anything be such a whole heap of guesswork. And yet we still put so much faith in these people. There's a famous story from, at least in England anyway, and we don't typically get extreme weather. We don't typically get earthquakes or hurricanes or tornadoes or anything like that. We're very lucky in that regard. But I remember, well, I don't, my dad does. It was, I think it was the early 90s. And we had one weatherman. His name was Michael Fish. Bit of a weather legend. And he went out national television and there'd been rumours circulating that we were going to get a tornado. And Michael Fish came out national television and said, I can promise you that there is no tornado coming to England. Sure enough, a tornado ripped through Manchester and did a whole heap of damage. He looked very, very silly. But yes, weathermen and weatherwomen are pretty notorious for just loads and loads of guesswork. We've had snow as well. It's absolutely freezing here in England, which, you know, it tends to be cold and miserable in England, but it is properly bitter today. And I've got a lovely football match in the snow. So I've got about 14 layers I'm going to be wearing, and it's going to be really cool just standing, watching my breath crystallize in front of my face as a young teenager shoots past me. And I can't do anything but lock him in a rear naked choke, which I am 100% going to do.
Now, remember, when you lock that in, buddy, remember, and nobody can see this because literally I'm in my car doing this podcast. Remember that you have to get your cutting, what they call cutting bone number three, which is our cutting bone number one, which is your thumb, you know, your Hacksaw Jim Duggan ho thing, that you got to get that up, buddy. You want to get that cutting bone. If you feel on underneath your thumb, there's a bone that almost sticks out of your hand. That's what they call cutting bone number one. You want to get that into his throat as deep as possible and then push down on his head. So right. There's your tip from your Uncle MT today for everybody, a free tip on how to choke somebody out.
I love the fact that you're just advocating violence against someone for having the audacity to just be younger than me. But
how
yes.
dare they?
Yeah.
How dare
your parents wait until they were older to conceive you? Who do they think they are? But yes, I must admit, I am not in any way looking forward to it. But there we are. Though that is the hand we have been dealt. It's probably colder in Philadelphia. You're not moaning, so therefore I shouldn't moan either. And do you know what else we shouldn't be moaning about, Matt? Stardom right now, because Stardom is on a little bit of a roll, an O'Connor roll, if you please. So before we kick into anything that we are going to be talking about, which of course we're going to be talking about the show from Anjo, which was the 8th of January, we're also going to be talking the first of the shows from Osaka, the day show, which had the two prelude tags on it. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about Julia's match with Triss Adora at the Battle in the Valley show from this last Saturday. We've also got a whole heap of news from a Stardom press conference, because what on earth else is new? But before we get into all of that, Matt, what's coming up on the Patreon this week?
On Patreon, we released our alternate commentary of Mina Shirakawa defending the Wonder of Stardom Championship against one Natsupoi. I had an absolute blast doing that with you, my friend. Haven't seen that match in a few months, and really one of the low-key matches of the year that I don't think enough people talk about. And I think we even said it after we got done watching it, like, wow, this was an absolute blast watching Mina and Natsupoi go at it for the Wonder of Stardom Championship. And that match was very, very violent. And speaking of very violent, we also did a watch along of one of the most dangerous encounters in the history of mankind from Pride back in 2002, Don Fry taking on Takayama. And I wanted to wait, obviously me and you text a lot, we talk quite a bit, and I wanted to wait to ask you on the air, Rob. I did mention that after you watched the match and you left your podcast room, that your life would change. Do you feel any different after watching Pride and Takayama for the first time?
Sort of discussion we're going to have about this match, because I do think my entire life has changed because of it. I think you're right. I think, you know, we talk about years in BC and AD, but now it's very much BP and AP, which is of course before Pride and after Pride, which is how I'm going to be measuring my years from now on, because goodness gracious me, the state of Takayama's face. I remember we did the when we were talking about All-Star Grand Queendom, and Tam Nakano had taken such a beating at the hands of Julia that she got welts all over her face and looked, you know, like a different person. And that's nothing. That is nothing to how Takayama's face looks after about 30 seconds. The man looks like someone has gone to town on Play-Doh. He looks an absolute mess, but God almighty, Matt, was it entertaining.
I can tell you're changed already because you talk about what we call soccer, you call football quite a bit. And this is the first time, and you just mentioned 2 minutes ago, that you said you're going to choke somebody out. So it seems like that you're more violent now. That Rob, that's why I can see you're a changed man, sir. You are a changed man. But also on the Patreon, I released this past weekend my review of a phenomenal, stellar Stardom show, All Star Dream Cinderella, that had Tam Nakano and Julia as the main event. That was for the Wonder of Stardom Championship and a hair versus hair match. And then coming up next week, our alternate commentary is the reunion of Thunder Rock as Io Shirai's last Stardom match as Mayu Iwatani and Io Shirai taking on the Uedo Tai team of Kagetsu and Hazuki. So that's what we released this past week, and that's what's coming up next week.
Yeah, and we've got quite, obviously things are going to be changing over on patreon.com/stormcast. It's going to be very Matt-led again, and we're going to be sort of rejigging the tiers. That's going to come into effect as of the 1st of February. So January remains unchanged, and we'll start rejigging those tiers and hopefully getting everyone the right content. As I mentioned last week, fingers crossed that's all sorted. We're not going to have any issues when we change to that format. Let's, Matt, kick into some news then, because we've got a whole heap of news, even if we've only got two shows to review. We start with the Stardom press conference, as Stardom had their Supreme Fight press conference yesterday, so the 16th of January. And we now have the full official card for Stardom Supreme Fight 2024, which is going to be taking place on the 4th of February. We already knew that we were getting Micah versus Saya Kamatani for the World of Stardom Championship and Sioriano making her first title defense against Starlight Kid. But we also have, and this is the entire main card, I'm sure there'll be a match on the pre-show. The future of Stardom Championship will be on the line. Rina will be defending her title against Yuzuki in her 5th title defense. Also, just under the radar, Rina recently became the 4th longest reigning future of Stardom champion. Her reign currently sits at 250 days. So a bit of a low-key title reign, but doing very, very well with it. In a multi-woman tag, an 8-woman tag, sort of an all-star tag, if you will, Mayu Iwatani, Utami Hayashishita, Nanai Takahashi, and Azumi will be taking on the team of Julia, Suzu Suzuki, Mirai, and Yuri and what promises to be a banger. Matt, check your watch, my friend. What time is it? It's only Tam time! Yes, yes, we get to hear Twilight Dream once again. Tam Nakano has confirmed that she will be returning for Stardom Supreme Fight. She and Yuna Mizumori will be teaming together against Club Venus team of Mina Shirakawa and the also returning Waka Tsukiyama. God, I have missed Waka. Waka, coincidentally, will be returning on this Saturday's show, on the night one of the doubleheader at Takadanababa. So definitely check those two shows out. We're going to be talking about those in a minute. And then, of course, those two aforementioned title matches, Sioriano versus Starlight Kid and Micah versus Saya Kamatani. Matt, how much of this press conference did you watch? Because I feel like we need to talk about the sheer volume of drip on show. Jesus, Stardom turned out. You've got Saya Kamatani wearing that absolutely gorgeous red gown. You've got Utami looking like only the most gangster of gangsters. Micah looking like an utter badass. There was some fine, fine gear on show.
Yeah, I saw a good majority of it. I was very disappointed by the lack of pies being thrown. No one got put through a table. Mayu didn't set anybody on fire. However, they made up for it just by how fantastic everybody looked. You mentioned Saya Kamatani. She clearly picked out that red dress as something very symbolic towards the red belt. We saw her in the press conferences that she had when she was Wonder of Stardom champion, and very much like Rossi Vice, you know, maybe she's taking a page out of the most well-dressed person in all of wrestling. She would always dress in something white that would coincide for her Wonder of Stardom, the white belt, her challenge defenses. With this, she went right to the red dress, and I was like, whoa, she looked like an absolute star. And if there is an upset that does happen coming up on the 4th, we now know what Saya Kamatani would look, how she would look, excuse me, with the red belt, the World of Stardom Championship. But yeah, I thought that the press conference was fun, again, despite the lack of, you know, somebody driving through the building with a car or some of the nonsense that usually we see in a Stardom press conference. But obviously super excited for we knew what the two main event matches were going to be, but I'm super excited for that all-star tag match. And I'm super excited for the return of one Tam Nakano. Now, real quick, Rob, I just want to kind of just take a left turn here just for a second, my friend, because where I see this is could be a huge opportunity for us here on the Stardom cast. Tam made mention she'd probably be returning during Cherry Blossom season, which means you kind of figured that she would come back at the big show coming up at the end of spring All-Star Grand Queendom. And mean you even kind of fantasy booked. We know that Julia at that time comes late spring, early summer. She'd be making her way out of Stardom, probably into WWE. And our kind of thing was, well, let's close the book on Tam and Julia. Tam's return would be at that show and Julia's final match would be at that show. Just do Tam and Julia and close the book on that show. However, we're getting the Tam return about 2 months earlier than we thought, which does mean, Rob Goodwin, there's a very possibility that come Philadelphia, it just may be Tam time, sir.
I feel like we may be walking the Tam road the entirety of the time in Philadelphia, especially if we see Tam and she wins. Imagine Tam with a belt. I don't think Matt would be able to contain himself. It was also announced that other members of the roster, Koguma, Natsupoi, Momo Kogo, and there was another one, and I feel really bad for missing them out, are going to be at Stardom Supreme Fight. So we are progressively integrating more and more people that have been injured for a long time into the Stardom ranks again, which is really, really good news. I'm very, very excited about that. One of my favorite moments of the entire press conference, though, has to be the announcement of this multi-woman tag. Mayu Iwatani, Utami, Nene Takahashi and Azumi versus Julia, Suzu, Mirai and Tsuri. Nanai couldn't be at the press conference, unless I'm very much mistaken, she was at the Sariism show, so couldn't be there. So Tsuri took it upon herself to announce Passion, because obviously we didn't have Nanai Takahashi there, therefore Tsuri took it upon herself to be the passionate one. And there's a great moment where Mayu realizes what is coming before anybody else does. And as soon as Tsuri says, I will be the passionate one, Mayu covers her ears. Mayu is instantly like, this is why I'm the icon. I know what's coming here. And everyone's like, oh, I wonder what. And Tsuri, one of the loudest people I've ever heard in a Stardom ring. Second, probably only to Nanai Takahashi, ironically. Screams the word passion and then says, that is all. And that was the entire press conference. Oh, brilliant. Okay, cool. That was really quite fun. I know that we're not going to be talking about the second show from Osaka, but there's two things which obviously I do want to talk about. The first of which is that we had a new member of Stars. That is going to be Yuzuki. Yuzuki came forward after their loss to Stars on the second night in Osaka and said that it was her dream to be a member of Stars and basically put herself forward for consideration, and they accepted her. So Yuzuki is the new, for lack of a better phrase, pin eater in Stars. But in all seriousness, she's getting a huge rub already. She's the first rookie to get an actual faction, something that Hanako picked out on Twitter. So they're clearly building something there. And she's the first of this new set of rookies to get a future of stardom shot at Rena as well. So we talked about Yuzuki. We talked about the future looking very bright for Yuzuki. But it looks like the present is also looking very bright for Yuzuki, Matt.
Yeah, Rob, my 2.5 years on this podcast, this is the first time and probably the only time I'll kind of slander stars. This did look like Yuzuki was being courted by the Queen's Quest, my all-time favorite faction in stardom, and one of my all-time favorite factions ever in wrestling. And I was a little heartbroken when I woke up to the news that she went with the Stars team. And I love the Stars team, don't get me wrong. But I guess she would rather one of those childlike painted jackets instead of a full fantastic robe. I guess instead of drinking beer with Utami, she wants to be training into kicking people in the head like Hazuki. But in all seriousness, yeah, you kind of just, you, when we, and we mention on this podcast every week as we watch these rookies, we're kind of like, where do they fit in? Where do they fit in? And Yuzuki was really only two factions. It was going to be either Stars or Queen's Quest. And obviously she's going to be learning under Mayu. No better wrestler in the world really to be learning under other than Mayu. And then Hazuki, who I believe is one of the trainers at the dojo, you know, she's going to be giving her a lot of tips. Saeed is probably going to teach her how to chop, which I'm perfectly fine with. And so she's got a lot, you know, Han and Momokogo. When Momokogo does come back, I did, she was present at the award show. I think it was a day or two ago. So she's going to be learning under some great wrestlers. Not only that, what Stars does better than any faction in stardom is when they run those double team moves, triple team moves, or quadruple team moves. Mayu does a great job making sure each wrestler is in the proper position at the proper time. And it looks so crisp and so like, wow, how can that even be possible? And she's going to be part of those. So, and again, she's only going to be learning being in the ring, tagging with the Mayus, the Hanans, the Momokogos, Kagama, you know, Hazuki, etc. So really exciting for her. And considering the fact, Rob, she got a faction, you mentioned before all the rookies and before Suzu Suzuki as well. Was nobody wants Suzu? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's funny because obviously Mei Sayera falls into that category as well. And it's not like there are factions that aren't short of people. I mean, currently Mina Shirakawa sits as the only member of Club Venus. There's only two members of Cosmic Angels as well. So I do wonder if when everyone has returned from injury, if we are going to get an influx of people moving factions. I wonder if we'll see some at this awards weekend or indeed at the pay-per-view as well. It's going to be interesting to see how that all comes about. A little bit of negativity, though. Unfortunately, the title match that we hyped up last week between Aphrodite and Crazy Star that was due to main event the second night in Osaka, that had to be pulled. Suzu Suzuki did not compete on that day due to illness. I believe it's illness as opposed to an injury. And the main event was changed to Utami Hayashishita and Sai Kamatani versus Azumi and Mei Sayera. So it's very much like having something taken away and something just as good given to you as well. Yes, we might not have got a championship match, but having Suzu Suzuki replaced by Azumi, not necessarily the worst thing in the world, Matt.
No, and you know, when I was kind of thinking about this, I saw that they released that. I think it was like the day of, I believe. Yeah, well, it was the day before when they released the, it was Starlight Kid and Momo Watanabe versus Soriano and Suzu Suzuki. If you, and I'm just speculating here, if you remember last week, Momo couldn't compete at the Korakuen show because she was sick. And if you watch that match with Black Desire versus Suzu and Soriano, Momo and Suzu get very violent to each other. So you wonder if Momo still wasn't 100%, you know, better. I mean, sometimes when we're sick, we think that we're better and we're not. We don't know because we're always pushing our bodies. And you wonder if maybe Momo passed whatever virus she gave over to Suzu. It doesn't seem anything major. I don't think it's COVID. It might just be, hey, she's sick. She ran a fever. She's not feeling good. We live in, you know, post-COVID times. Better be safe than sorry. So maybe that's what happened. But regardless, considering the fact that we got the other member of Queen's Quest teaming with the high speed bomb girl teaming with the current high speed champion. Obviously, I believe that show just got released this morning, so we didn't get a chance to watch it. But we will have our review of not only that match but that show for you next week. But and I told Rob before we got on the air, you know, let's turn this into a positive. Obviously, I'm sure that match was great. Tsutami and Saya Kamatani versus Mei Sara and Izumi. It's gonna be great. We know that somewhere down the line, we are getting Aphrodite versus Crazy Star. That's a pay-per-view worthy match. And if it's going to be on pay-per-view, it's a match we're not going to have to wait 1 or 2 days to be uploaded to Stardom World. It's a match that we're going to watch live when it happens on pay-per-view. So let's swing it all into the positivity, my friend. And we hope Suzu Suzuki is fully recovered and back into the ring as soon as possible.
Absolutely. On the back of that, we have the positive that I mentioned earlier. Waka Tsukiyama will be returning to action. She is going to be returning to action on Saturday, as I mentioned before, teaming with Mina Shirakawa against the team of Mika and Hanako. It's going to be great to see Waka. It's going to be great for Mina Shirakawa to have something to do rather than just be in undercard throwaway matches, especially as this Nanai thing seems to have been put on the back burner for now. I'm sure it's something we will revisit very, very soon, but it's nice to see Club Venus together. I'm just going to whip through actually those cards that we just mentioned. So this weekend, the 20th and the 21st of January, Stardom will be hosting their awards weekend, the awards show. So a doubleheader at Takadanobaba. I'm no longer scared of saying that word. I know I'm getting it wrong, but I'm saying it with confidence.
You've got to.
But yes, so we look at that first card, the 20th of the 1st, Megan Bain versus Saki Kashima, Yuna Mizumori, and Lady C. We've got a gauntlet tag with Aphrodite versus Sayada and Yuzuki versus Azumi and Miyu Amazaki versus Ryuhaka and Rina versus Rani Yagami and Sayaka Karora. We've then got a multi-woman tag, a six-woman tag, Julia, Suzu, Suzuki, and Mei Sakurai versus Natsuki Tora, Starlight Kid, and Momo Watanabe. Waka Tsukiyama's return match, Mina Shirakawa and Waka Tsukiyama versus Mika and Hanako. And at the top of the card, we've got two title matches. A high-speed title match with Mei Sara making her third title defense against Fuki and Death. And the Artist of Stardom titles will be on the line in the main event with Aburembo, God's Eye, Siori Mirai, and Amisori making their first title defense against the Stars team of Mayu Iwatani, Hanan, and Hazuki. So before we get into the card for the 21st, Matt, that is a very, very, very tasty card. And I know people will sleep on Fuki and Death and Mei Sara. And, you know, to a certain extent, you know what you're going to get with Fuki and Death. You know you're going to get the shtick. You know you're going to get the comedy. However, it is worth noting that when she goes, she can go. And it is worth noting that Mei Sara is one of the more entertaining people on the roster in a comedy way. So this might be something that is a low-key, really, really, really good match, Matt.
Yeah, you know what, too, Rob? If you watch the show on the 13th, I don't know if you got to all of it. I know you said you were busy and probably can only get to, like, the main matches. They do a great job in that multi-person tag match building up Fuki and Death and Mei Sara. Like, literally, I was doing my notes, and they were only in the ring for about 2 minutes, but it was like, don't blink or you'll miss it. So I don't think this match is going to go like 9-10 minutes. It may only go like the, 5 to 7 minutes, but I think it's going to be really, really good. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people because I was like, if this is what we're going to get, if this is what we're getting a multi-person match to build towards the championship match, I think this is going to be something really, really good. So I'm actually pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, like we've said, we know we're going to get the shtick. We know we're going to get things like that. But it is worth noting that she has had matches as Fuki and Death, and it has been good. And after all, you know, who are you to doubt the clown? And obviously, it's Mei Sara's turn to, because as we always say, if you want to be the clown, you got to beat the clown, Matt Turner. And that's what Mei Sara is going to be doing. That Artist of Stardom title match, though, that main event is going to be brilliant. I don't see God's Eye dropping it after one defense. I'd be very, very surprised. But you know it's going to be an all-out banger. And I don't often say this because time limit draws, you know, say what you will about them in Stardom. But I would not be disappointed if this went 30 minutes.
No, not at all. I don't think it's going to. I think that Honda's going to probably eat the pinfall here. But, I mean, we get a little bit of a rematch in what is, you know, the early match of the year candidate with Mayu versus Sherry. Obviously, Sherry versus Suzuki. Violence, yes, please. Suzuki and Ami, Sori and Mirai. That's going to be great as well. And Honda really mixing it up with the top tier of Stardom. You know, we've seen Honda just progress so much over the past year. The past 4 or 5 months, Ami Sori's done a great job really positioning herself to an upper mid card to lower main event level. And obviously, she's in the main event here. Mirai, I thought, had a really, really good solid run with the Wonder Stardom Championship. So you'll see some really good stuff there with Hanan and Mirai, but I hope it does. You know, if it goes 30 minutes, I got no problem with that. I hope it does go, you know, 20 plus, so they get the chance to go kind of, you know, tell their story in this match. But yeah, super excited for it. I mean, Stardom is doing a great job pumping up these quote unquote house shows. You know, we were supposed to get a tag title match last week. Obviously, that didn't happen with Suzu being sick, but we obviously have loaded, you know, we talked before we went on air. Despite these are, you know, this including, excuse me, these two title matches, there's some really, really good, tasty matches, as you would say, sir, coming up on these shows. And I think it's a great job for Stardom to sell tickets and to sell more subscriptions to Stardom World, because you might be looking at these cards saying, how do I watch this? Like, what's the best way to go about it? And for less than $7, it's less than $2 a week, you subscribe to Stardom World and you can see these matches and so much more. So I think it's a brilliant booking on the crux of Stardom. And in my opinion, it really looks like that Rossi's in full control back of the booking, just based on what we've seen from Dream Queendom up until right now.
It does certainly appear that way, certainly. We've then got on the 21st, the day after the card has been released as well, we've got Lady C and Miyu Wamasaki versus Yuna Mizumori and Sayaka Karora and Rina and Rana Yagami. So you did sort of call out that Rana Yagami Awedatai connection. We'll see if there's a little bit of chemistry between her and Rina. Sayaka Karora, for me, does sort of scream that Cosmic Angels bubblegum vibe, so I'm wondering if that's where they're going with that. Mina Shirakawa and Waka Tsukiyama versus Yuzuki and Saya Ida. Mei Sakurai versus Fukiken Death. Tsuyori Mirai and Ami Sori. Aburembo God's Eye versus Natsuki Tora, Momo Watanabe and Ruaka. Julia Suzu Suzuki and Mei Seira versus Micah, Megan Bain and Hanako. And then in your main event, what has been announced today as a 13th anniversary originals tag, which is a little bit of a mouthful but really quite interesting, because all 8 of these women are Stardom born and raised. So you've got Hana, Mayu Iwatani, Saya Kamatani and Utami Hayashishita taking on the team of Azumi, Starlight Kid, Hazuki and Saki Kashima. That is on its own enough to sell me on this card, but I'm really intrigued to see if this God's Eye versus a Weather Tie match, is that going to set up another Artist of Stardom title defense later down the road, and also whether we're going to get any movement with rookies in that opening matchup, because looking at them as wrestlers, Rana Yagami, who said about that aggression, and yes, I still think she'd suit God's Eye, but I do think that aggression could bring something to a Weather Tie and could certainly help her in her development. And I think both of us have said that Sayaka Karora would fit Cosmic Angels down to a T. So there's a lot of interesting little story beats, Matt, in this on this 21st card, even if there's no title matches.
Yeah, and I've actually, once we get into it, I'm going to change my prediction on Sayaka Karora. Again, we'll get into that when we get into the matches. I still believe bubblegum vibe, but the other bubblegum faction, if you catch my drift, good sir. So again, we'll get into that when we talk about these shows. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting factors you're going with the rookies. And I would even say not only is Rana Yagami going to go to a Wedotai, I think Hanako as well. She's seen very much aggression lately, especially ever since losing to Yuzuki in the finals of the rookie tournament. Very much like pushing. She's been getting to a lot of pushing shoves, pushing fights after the bell in these matches with Yuzuki. So you wonder maybe if Rana and Hanako are going to go to a Wedotai. And as much as we joke that a Wedotai have like 4,000 members, they have not had a new member. And I could be wrong, since Momo Watanabe defected at the end of 2021. I mean, look at not only that, but they lost Saya Saki Kashima. So I think they may be due for one or two new members. Again, they have not had a new member. Again, I'm thinking about the roster through my head, Rob. Am I wrong? The last time that they had a new member was when Momo defected.
I think you might be right. I think you might be right, Matt. So maybe. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be a defection. Obviously, you know, none of the rookies are currently affiliated. But it's nice to see that we are getting some movement on that. And obviously, it's only going to help their development as well, which is the main thing. Someone, however, who is not going to be around after the Stardom Awards show will be Megan Bain, per Rossi Ogawa and reported by our good friend, Mr. Scotty Wrestling. It will be her final weekend, her final match, of course, being that six-woman tag, Julia, Suzu and May, versus her, Micah and Hanako. So how would you summarise, Matt, Megan Bain's run with the company? Because when she made her debut just before Stardom X Stardom, it was very much a case of, I don't know who this person is, and I'm not overly enthused by it. However, I will be the first person to say that she's completely turned me around on her. I didn't know how we would get that dominant monster in Stardom. I didn't know how it would work. I didn't know if the moment Tamp Ender clean that her entire run was done. However, the partnership with Divine Kingdom, the brilliant partnership between her, Mei Sayera, and Suzu Suzuki has not only offered a level of personality that I think she may have been lacking, other than I am a monster. She's got that personality. She's got that sort of straight edge to the comedy vibe as well. I think overall, her run, if it was to get experience, to get in-ring reps, to be able to develop as a character, I think this run can only be described as a success, even if she didn't win any of the championships. She won the tag league, and I think her development is clear for everyone to see.
Rob, you got to think, you know, let's back this up a little bit. Her debut, and it's none of really her fault, literally came at the worst time possible. You have one of the best shows in Stardom history, night one of the 5-star Grand Prix, end with Saya Kamatani's injury, and everybody is like a hush upon the crowd. And then she comes and she attacks the World of Stardom champion. And again, not many people know who she was. And even if they knew who she was, outside of Mercedes Moné maybe attacking Tam, I don't think anybody really would have, I don't mean to sound disrespectful, cared, because everybody was worried about Saya Kamatani. Like, literally, even like Utami, who was like the one that introduced her to the group, it was just like, you can tell she's looking at her friend Saya. Like, it was a real life moment. So it was just like her debut, again, really no fault of her own, really, really came at the worst time possible. But again, you can't delay it. You're there. You have to do the angle. It just, unfortunately, an injury happened and just happened to have and happen at the main event of this phenomenal show. So it was like you're kind of starting from, you know, ground zero. And then it just build. And they did a great job building her for Tam. I think a lot of us thought, okay, once Tam beats her, like she'll go back to the States. And she stayed over in Stardom and just developed as a wrestler, as a character, as a personality. Had those two phenomenal must-see matches with Julia. Had some great tag stuff with Micah as part of Divine Kingdom, especially in that final match with Crazy Star. Basically had like the good cop, bad cop duo with Mei Sayera. Literally to the point when you watch these multi-person matches, you pretty much know how the end of these matches are going to happen. Whatever team is on the other side, you're like, okay, who's the pin eater here? You know, not only they eating the F5, but it's going to end with a whole bunch of people doing dives, May going up to Megan Bain trying to say something to her, and then Megan Bain just deadlifting May up and just throwing her onto everybody that's on the outside, and then taking the pin eater and then F5ing them for the 3 count. Obviously, she threw the clown. She was down with the clown. We'll never forget probably the best F5 from her. And her star, I know you're laughing because it just seemed like I remember watching it. If you go back and watch it again, you think that your feed froze for half a second because she throws poor freaking death in the air like so fast, so hard that she almost levitates there for a second, like when Io did that moonsault and that Thunder Rock title match against Kairi and Mako Satomura. You're like, wait a minute, like literally just freaking death just defying gravity. I guess when you're an alien clown, you can do that. But like, it's been nothing to answer your question. absolutely overachieved. And the rumors are true that when she comes back to the States, she's going to AEW. She's a made person. I mean, she literally, from the moment she cuts the curtain, and obviously AEW, they're a $1 billion company. They'll have bigger production than Stardom. So when she cuts the curtain and you have all that entrance and all pop and circumstances on Megan Bain, you have someone that's tall, that's good looking, that has a presence, that has an aura. And then the bell rings and she can go with any style wrestler, whether it's the faster style, whether it's the harder hitter style, whether it's somebody that's going to suplex her. I mean, we've seen that she's been able to, I mean, in the match with Aphrodite, again, we'll talk about, she German suplexed Utami and Saikama Tani at the same time. She can do a top rope moonsault. We saw that in a match with Julie. You know, she knows psychology. She has her timing down. So she was good coming in, but coming out of this Stardom run, I mean, she's just A++, and I expect her to have a huge year, you know, working with the Tony Storms, working with the Shidas, et cetera, in AEW. So I'm excited to watch her on my TV, whether that's every Friday, whether it's every Saturday, whether that's every Wednesday. She'll be one that I'll definitely keep an eye out for her AEW run. But her Stardom run was nothing more than a home run, catching the home run and then hitting a grand slam. I mean, A++ for me, my friend.
Someone I want to talk a little bit about is Tekla. Now, Tekla did an interview with Lyric Wrestling of SES Scoops, and it was really quite enlightening, because even though she made it quite clear that, you know, she was taking a hiatus from Stardom, she hadn't really had a break since she debuted for Stardom, hadn't really had a break since she started wrestling in Japan, that, you know, it sounded like she was going to come back, potentially. However, the interview that she has given with SES Scoops sort of gives us a very different complexion. I'm just going to read a little bit of an extract of this interview. It's a fantastic interview by Lyric Wrestling, so definitely go and check it out on SES Scoops. I think Fightful have also tweeted our link to it. But on working in the United States and potential dream opponents, they, Stardom management, know that I'm really interested in going abroad and going to the States. I've made that very clear. So I don't know yet what's planned for that upcoming Stardom American Dream show in Philadelphia, but I would love to go for sure. About dream opponents, one in the mix is obviously Mercedes Moné. She then also goes on to mention Becky Lynch. She goes on to mention Charlotte Flair. She also mentions Athena as well, which is great because Athena's had an absolutely did have a fantastic year as well. And it just got me thinking, Matt, that maybe with Julia leaving, is Tekla going to be on the outs as well? Apparently her contract is up very, very soon. So is she the next one that we see leave on the back of the Dangerous Queen?
The possibility, my friend. I mean, it's something. I mean, there's no downs on Mundo. Where does she fit in with any faction, you know, at this point? I think her taking time off to kind of refresh herself, obviously get her body healthy and her mind healthy, that's the most important thing. But you can maybe see doing what Unagi did. Go bet on yourself. Go work for any other Japanese company. Go work in England. Go work in the States. Maybe get some work with Ring of Honor and maybe get that match with Athena, you know, have her come in and just do a program that maybe helps sell Ring of Honor, Honor Club subscriptions. There's a lot she can do. She speaks multiple languages. She works multiple styles. She's fantastic in the ring. She's a great interview. She's a great promo. She's another one that has that presence. So she could be another one. She might tell Stardom like, hey, you know, if you want me in a year or two, I can come back, but I want this experience maybe wrestling in the States or going, you know, to Canada or Mexico to, you know, work some lucha or something. But she's somebody that's so talented. She can go anywhere and make a splash. But I think that right now she's doing the right thing, taking a little bit of time off, you know, heal her mind, heal her body. And who knows, we're going to see Tekla pop up in 2024.
I think she's certainly got all the tools to be that superstar. For me, the team of Mafia Bella was one of the best things about the tag league. Both her and Julia working as that tag team had such an energy. And I'm certainly not suggesting that she just follow wherever Julia goes. I think, you know, Tekla has been one of those people who has sort of been overshadowed by the star power in Donna Del Mondo at times. And I think it would be interesting if she did go out, maybe work the US Indies for a bit, maybe work the Japanese Indies for a bit, really raise her own profile. I'd love to see her stay in Stardom because I'm a huge Tekla fan. I really am. And I think she's improved massively. And I think, you know, as I said before, the Mafia Bella stuff showed that she has that star power to do the NXT, the WWE, or maybe even turn up in AEW. Then, you know, then she's made. I'd love to see her stay in Stardom from a purely selfish point of view, but it's exactly the same as Julia. You know, ultimately, we want these competitors to be happy. We want these competitors to reach their potential. If Tekla thinks that her potential could be reached somewhere else, more power to her, and we will be supporting her the entire way because, you know, she's fantastic and thoroughly, thoroughly deserves it. And, you know, looking back on it, Matt, if this is the end of Tekla, do you think she got a fair rub in Stardom? Do you think she got the opportunities she deserved?
No, because we didn't get a chance to see her in any of the five stars. I know she was slated to be in the 2022 five star. She got injured in that high speed match with Izumi and just never got cleared in time. And then I don't think it's really on. It's basically just the timing just never worked. I just think with how stacked Stardom was and they had so many different stories and angles going on that she never got a proper like singles run. Obviously, she did a great job teaming with Mafia Bella. You just mentioned it with Julia. That nice little artist of Stardom run, you know, with Julia and Mei Sakurai. But it's just, I just think the timing just didn't work out. I would love to see her in a five star. I would love to see her going a little bit deeper, won the Cinderella tournaments. Again, I'm not saying it's a missed opportunity from Stardom. I just think that any time that she was called upon to do something, she hit it out of the park. But again, at the same time, I would love to see what a Tekla run in the five star Grand Prix would have looked like, especially in 2022 when you had an absolutely crazy loaded field. So it's just, you know, maybe a missed opportunity, but it's not. I don't think it's all on Stardom. It's just that sometimes the timing doesn't work out.
No, and I feel like I misspoke with that. I feel like how the way that her and Mirai debuted, you look at that debut with the weird Momo masks, and they made such a big deal of these Momo attacks. And you look at what Mirai has done, and then you look at what Tekla has done, and they're not really comparable. You know, Mariah has gone on to win two Cinderella tournaments, has been in the mix for five-star Grand Prix, has won the Wonder of Stardom Championship, has main-evented pay-per-views. And then you look at Tekla, and they're not really comparable. And I think Tekla is a fantastic wrestler. You know, I'm not saying she should have won the five-star or have won the Cinderella tournament or have won the red belt. It just would have been nice to see her as an opponent for a Y-belt challenge. You know, as an opponent for a red belt challenge, yes, she wouldn't win it, absolutely. But give her that opportunity to really show off what she can do. Because I think you're absolutely right, Matt. That 2022 five-star could have been so pivotal to Tekla's run. Because she was hot off the back of this debut. She'd won the SWA belt as well. So she'd won that singles championship. But I think she never really regained a footing properly in that push once she got injured. And that's a real shame. But yeah, whatever happens with Tekla, we wish her nothing but the best. Fingers crossed she is in Philadelphia. Matt, let's talk then a little bit about the shows that we're going to talk about, because this weekend may have been one of the most stacked weekends of wrestling I've ever come across, because on top of there being Collision and Battle of the Belts on AEW, you had Battle in the Valley from New Japan taking place. You also had Hard to Kill from TNA, and you had Stardom as well. And I know that obviously Stardom you can't watch live, but that is a lot of wrestling for one person to consume. We're going to do, first of all, before we talk about any of the shows, what were you watching on Saturday night? Remember Chuck Norris, the man so strong that he birthed an entire category of jokes about his unparalleled strength? We all have a favourite joke, right? Chuck Norris can do a wheelie on a unicycle. Some people are afraid of the dark. The dark is afraid of Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris makes onions cry in the evergreen. When Chuck Norris does a push-up, he's pushing the earth down. Have you ever wondered what happened to him? Well, I recently saw a video of the now 84-year-old Chuck Norris, and let me tell you, he still looks like he can beat the sun in a staring contest. He says he's even stronger, has more stamina, and plenty of energy left over for his grandkids since making one simple health change that helps his digestion and nutrition. In fact, he still says he feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even made the same change, and she's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger and has more energy than an Azumian Starlight Kid high-speed match. Many of us, myself included, do not include the necessary fruits, vegetables, and other herbs that increase health and energy in our own diets. And it's a lingering problem for a lot of us. And actually, I don't mind telling you that my stomach feels like it's been on the receiving end of a Hazuki pump kick on more than one occasion because of it. However, Chuck Norris has made a special video that explains how he has incorporated these things with just one simple product. And you can watch it now by going to mymorningkick.com/stardomcast. It may change your approach to your own health. Once again, that's mymorningkick.com/stardomcast. And now, back to this week's episode.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Saturday night, I was watching the NFL playoffs, actually, to be honest with you.
Matt, kayfabe, brother, come on! What are you doing to me?
Actually, I was watching the NFL playoffs, and in between, I was doing some homework for the Patreon. I was watching a whole bunch of Hazuki and Kagama, FWC stuff. So, truth be told, that was that. I did get to catch the Julia versus Trisha Dora match, though.
Did you indeed? Okay, well, that's what we're actually going to. We're going to New Japan Battle in the Valley 2024, 13th. Of January from the San Jose Civic Center in San Jose, California. 2,147 people in attendance. Also on the card, some really, really good matches. The final three matches, Eddie Kingston versus Gabe Kidd, fantastic. John Moxley versus Shingo, brilliant. And obviously Okada and Ospreay. It's Okada and Ospreay. I mean, you know, come on. But the match we're going to focus on was match five, Julia's defense of the New Japan Strong Women's Championship. And she succeeded, defeating Trish Adora with a Northern Lights bomb in 13 minutes and 2 seconds. So, Matt, this match, I will openly say I didn't know a great deal about Trish Adora before this match. In fact, when I say a great deal, I literally nothing about Trish Adora in this match. And I was wondering, how do you think she fared in this match?
I thought she fared pretty well. I thought her and Julia, obviously Julia had some really good star power going into this match. We actually have some notes, Rob Goodwin, from one of our listeners over on the Stardom cast. I'm just going to pull them up. And again, I may butcher this name. It actually looks like it's an easy name to get, so I might get it. The notes were from our listener, Thomas Beyer, that he was over at this Battle in the Valley show. He gave me some notes on all of them, on a good majority of the matches, and actually sent a video of Will Ospreay's entrance. So thanks, Thomas, for sending those out. But he basically said that when Julia came out, everybody there in San Jose knew who she was, incredible star power, and that she will adapt very well to the U.S. audience, depending on wherever she goes when her contract is up, whether it's WWE, NXT, AEW, so on and so forth. But and thank you, Thomas, for sending over those notes. And thank you for the fantastic support. We greatly appreciate you. And thanks for the kind words he said. He did say, told me to tell you that you do amazing work.
Oh,
so there you go,
thank
buddy.
Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate that.
Getting you over, brother. I thought she worked out fairly well. Sometimes when you have these matches ups with different you have wrestlers from different countries. Obviously, we know Julie has done a great job at expanding, you know, her English, you know, the English language. But sometimes you can have little language barriers, even though sometimes wrestling can be, you know, a worldwide language. I thought Trish and Julia worked out very well together. Julia worked a little bit more of an American style in this match. And by that, I mean taking her time. You know, she was over. From the moment she cut the curtain, she was over. You can tell Trish, you can tell she was fired up. You can kind of tell that she had a little nerves going on because this has got to be the biggest match in her career on this big stage, wrestling for New Japan Championship against what is probably going to be the biggest free agent in all of wrestling in 2024. I thought she delivered. I thought she was great here. I think there was a lot of new eyes on Trish Adora, and a lot of those people are going to watch what she's doing next. I know she wrestles quite a bit on Ring of Honor. I don't know if she's signed to an AEW Ring of Honor deal, but if I was Tony Khan and the brass, I would definitely sign her up as soon as possible before somebody else does. Julia gave her a lot. You know, we talk ad nausea on this podcast that when Julia's wrestling somebody too, that's, I don't mean to say below her, but like, so again, that's the middle of the card. We've seen her do it with Hanan. We see her do it with a lot of these rookies, you know, when Miyu first started wrestling, that she's able to give her opponents a lot in the match, and then to ultimately beat them at the end, which again, you're building up your opponent in the match. That makes Julia have to overcome some adversity towards the end. And that's basically what this was. It was a very Julia style match, which is a good thing because it made Trish look really, really good. And at the end, it was, she fell victim, as everybody does, my friend, to the Dangerous Queen's Northern Lights bomb. Solid match. I wish it would have went maybe a little bit longer. Went 13 minutes. I would have really liked it, but maybe 15, 16 to kind of flush out their story. But I really, really enjoyed it. I gave it 3 3/4 stars.
Yeah, I think there was bits I certainly like. I think it started quite slowly, if I'm being brutally honest. There was a lot of sort of unnecessary give and take a little bit. But the moment they went outside and just started throwing each other over their heads in suplexes, the match really kicked into the gear that we wanted it to get into. By the time Julia pinned Trish, the match had really heated up for me. So yeah, it was 3 1/4 stars. I'd say one of Julia's weaker title defenses. But you look at that run, you know, the Megan Bain match was great. Azumi match was great. They won it, the Multiverse United 2 show, which you, of course, were at, Matt, was a really, really good match. Even the Amisori match and the high-end match were really good. I think this is just below them, but that's not a knock on Trish Adora, who I thought did a pretty good job, if I'm being perfectly honest. Did you manage to watch any of the other card, any of the rest of the card, Matt?
No, I wanted it. I mean, like I said, I just didn't get an opportunity to. But I'm from what everybody told me. How Okada and Ospreay? How can that not be great? I'm assuming that's Ospreay's last match as a full time member of the New Japan roster, as I believe his contract is up in a month. So what a way to go out than Okada. And obviously, I heard Moxley and was it Moxley and Shingo, right?
It was Moxley and Shingo just beating the ever loving hell out of each other. It was great.
I heard that was great. And then who won the, who's the number one contender? Is it Steph Vacker?
It is indeed Steph Vacker. That was literally going to be my next point.
I knew where you were going, brother. I took my time. I Memphis'd it. I stalled to get there. That's what
I did. I love it. You did. yes, Stephanie Vacker on the pre-show came out on top in her match to become the new number one contender to the New Japan Strong Women's Championship. We talked about it before, you know, the fact that Julia is leaving Stardom. She is leaving New Japan as a result, especially if she goes to WWE. So she will need to drop that title. We talked last week about how that could potentially be Stephanie Vacker. You know, whether it is Stephanie Vacker, I don't know. You know, has she got the star power? Maybe not. Does she need heating up? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know enough about the world of Lucha and things like that. I think she's great, but, you know, it does depend on what they're going to do with Julia. Is there one big money match, no pun intended, that you can get out of Julia before she leaves for her to drop the title? Because as good as Stephanie Vacker is, and I think she would be a good champion, is she that money match? Probably not. I think she could be in a couple of months, but I don't think she's quite on Julia's level. And I'm sure people will agree on that. And that's no slight on Stephanie Vacca, because she is really, really good. And every time I see her, she is getting better. Let's move on then, Mr. Matt Turner. And we'll move on to the Stardom show in Anjo, which is, of course, home of Tam Nakano, who is at this show. We were in the Toshio Arena in Anjo on the 8th of January in front of 274 people. The results are as follows. We open with a tag team match, Yuzuki and Saya Kamatani defeating Rani Yagami and Saya Iida. Saya Kamatani pinning Rani Yagami with the Senpukyaku in 9 minutes and 14 seconds. Nailed it. Tag team match followed. Micah and Hanako defeated Sayaka Karora and Mina Shirakawa. Micah pinning Sayaka Karora with the Sazanka in 7 minutes and 15 seconds. Crazy Star, Suzu Suzuki and Mei Seira defeated the Raiwa Tokyo Towers, Amisori and Lady C. Suzu Suzuki pinning Lady C with a tequila shot in 8 minutes and 30 seconds. In a tag team match, Queen's Quest team of Azumi and Utami Hayashishita defeated the team of Julia and Mei Sakurai. Utami pinning Mei Sakurai with the German suplex in 10 minutes and 47 seconds. And then we had a pair of six-woman tags to close out the show, the first of which saw the team of Sayori Anno, Megan Bain and Yuna Mizumori defeat the God's Eye team of Shiori Mirai and Saki Kashima. Sayori Anno pinning Saki Kashima with the Pota Ring in 9 minutes and 39 seconds. It began what was a fairly torrid run of results for Saki Kashima over these last three shows. And then in the main event, the Stars team of Mayu Iwatani, Hazuki and Hanan defeated the Ueretai team of Natsu Katora, Starlight Kid and Ruwaka, with Hanan pinning Ruwaka with the backdrop hold in 11 minutes and 52 seconds. Not a single match over 12 minutes, Matt. It was a short show, but it was a decent show.
Yeah, I thought it was good, and I just kind of want to make mention on the first two matches what I mentioned at pretty much the start of the show. Saya Kamatani and Yuzuki. Yuzuki, you're being mentored by Saya Kamatani, and what do? You go with Mayu. Breaks my heart. Breaks my heart. Regardless, really good stuff there. And again, we talked about where Sayaka Kuro is going to end up. You know, we mentioned last week, and you mentioned the start of the show, partner, that she fits Cosmic Angels. With this show and the next show, we're going to talk about her and Mina as a tag team are really, really good for a few different reasons. Number one, so they come out, right, to Mina's music, and Mina does the dance. And Sayaka, God bless her, she stares at her for the first, like, 5 or 6 seconds. And you're like, oh, this is Waka all over, right? She's just going to stay. And then when it gets, like, obviously, I know nothing about dancing. I am not, you know, I have two left feet. But when it gets to the part where I guess it gets a little easier in the dancing, that's where Karora comes in. And she actually is able to go move for move with Mina. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, maybe that fits there. Obviously, in the ring for me, the entrance is great. Don't get me wrong. What happens in the ring for me is the most important, because Mina sets Sayaka up for her big moves, and she's only got a couple. She's got that springboard arm drag, she does the spear, she only has a few because she's a rookie. But Mina is so smart in not only her offense or in her opponent's offense, but what she's doing in these tags. You know, we've seen her do it with tagging with Waka. We saw the way that her and Unagi towards the end of the pink kabuki, what they were able to do. But what she does here with Sayaka again in this match and the match we'll talk about in a little bit is she sets her up perfectly where to put her moves in, where it makes sense and where it's going to get the most reaction. And I literally wrote a note after the second match that I think that Sayaka Karora would be perfect for Club Venus. One, they need members. Two, her and Mina Shirakawa have instant chemistry, which once again just goes to show how great Mina is. When you have taking somebody that's had less than 10 matches, give or take, and you're able to put their moveset and work it well with your moveset, I would love to see Sayaka Karora end up in Club Venus.
They certainly need the members, and she certainly fit in. You know, you think about the likes of a Mariah May, a Zaya Brookside, maybe she is of that style, maybe she is of that ilk. I wouldn't necessarily be disappointed where she ended or whether it's Cosmic Angels or Club Venus. I feel like it's, you know, much of a muchness around those two factions. But ultimately, you know, the sooner she gets into a faction, same with Rani Yagami and Hanako, you are learning then from people in your faction. You know, if she's in Cosmic Angels, she's learning from the likes of Soriano. She's learning from the likes of Tam. She's learning from the likes of Natsupoi. In Club Venus, she's learning from Mina Shirakawa, which is, you know, which is great. So wherever she ends up, I'm looking forward to that. But yes, that team I did enjoy, Yuzuki and Saya Kamatani, which of course made it all the more bitter that she chose Stars. But maybe that's a storyline plot, Matt. Maybe that's where they're going with it. Maybe that's the crux of a Mayu Iwatani versus Saya Kamatani main event at the end of the year.
Oh, or for some, or maybe for the show, or for All-Star Grand Queendom for the IWGP Championship, even though I think it's going somewhere else, which we'll get into at the end of this show. But Rob, can I talk about match four leading into segment four, sir?
Of course, please do.
Now, obviously, the match is great. It's Utami, it's Izumi, if it's Julia, and it's Mai Sakurai, right? However, what me and my wife like to do is, if time permitting, at 7 o'clock, we like to watch Jeopardy together. And I'm not very good at it. If there's like a sports question or a band category, I do fairly well with it. So we get done eating dinner, and I just start this match, and I have the iPad, and I have my notebook. I'm taking notes. She said, hey, 7 o'clock's coming up. Do you want to watch this match? Do you want to watch Jeopardy? I said, hold on, let me watch this match. I press the thing. It's a 23-minute segment, something like that. I said, it'll end 2 minutes at 6:58, so 2 minutes before Jeopardy starts. It's perfect. So this match is really good. Obviously, Utami and Julia, before Julia leaves, that's the match. Maybe to answer your question before, who does Julia drop the strong championship to? I would not be heartbroken if it's Utami, and we see Utami with not only a tag run with Saya, but we see her doing a run with the New Japan Strong Belt. Obviously, Sakurai, she's fantastic. She fits very well in with Julia. Great match. 3 3/4 stars. However, I like to let everybody in a little bit on my personal life, because this is going to be funny, and I know you're going to get a pop out of this. So the match ends, and I'm like, there's still 6 minutes left in the segment. That's weird. Maybe it got cut wrong. Then all of a sudden, the announcer makes an announcement. I don't know what he's saying because I don't speak Japanese. And you see all the cameras and everybody turn to the front, and then you hear, and I'm like, oh, and now I'm sitting on the couch with my iPad, right? And all of a sudden, you can just see the ire of my wife, who is the complete opposite of walking the Tam road, my friend. She's like, oh, God. I was like, oh, I said, this is what this last segment, 6 minutes is, or whatever the segment is. She's like, really, 6 minutes of Tam? I got to put up with 6 minutes of Tam. So Tam comes out, and I take the iPad, and I turn it just a little bit towards my wife. She gets in the ring, and she's like, oh, she's dressed so terribly. She looks like she's going to ask you to put your luggage up over seat C19.
Flight attendant Tam. I love it.
I was dying. I literally have a note here. Tam making an appearance, must talk about wife slander to Tam. No, obviously, I have to completely go the complete opposite route. I'm like, oh my God. I said, she looks like an angel. I said, that's why she's the cosmic angel. I said, look at her. I said, oh my God. I said, if she was a flight attendant, I go, I would melt in my seat. I was like, the plane can go down. I wouldn't even care. I was like, look at her. Look how happy she looks. And she's so happy to be back in a Stardom ring. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for her to come back. I said, you think my life's good now? I said, you just wait until Tam comes back to start wrestling. I said, you think I'm super bubbly and positive? I said, you just said to me, oh, jeez. Just like as if you couldn't get any more annoying. And then we watched Jeopardy, and I smoked her in Jeopardy, Rob. You know why? Because I believe in Tam, buddy.
The power of Tam. Right, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we have just in the last 2 minutes basically booked a Yuzuki on a pole match and have shown you the true power of Tam. If you believe in Tam, you can beat your wife in Jeopardy. It's that easy to believe in Tam. I mean, that's not where I thought this podcast was going, Matt, but sure. Yes, Tam did come out, address the people, and as we've already discussed, she will be returning to a Stardom ring on the 4th of February at Supreme Fight. Matt, what else is worth checking out on this And Joe show?
The last two matches, God's Eye versus Megan Bain, Soriano, and Yuna Mizumori. That was really good. Again, Yuna continues to improve and press. She really maximized every second she's in the ring. And obviously, we saw some more Sayori versus Mirai stuff, which I absolutely love. Their three matches from last year. But I have a note in here. Shuri versus Soriano. Let's Let's get that. Let's get that in a ring somewhere, whether it's for the Wonder of Stardom Championship or just a singles match that they would. Again, they're booking all these shows, non-pay-per-view, non-Corkin shows, pay-per-views. They're really booking them, you know, as if they're big major shows. Let's get a Shuri versus Saori match on one of these shows. I would love to see it. Yuna and Mirai just crushing each other, and then Megan Bain just plucking. You know, how else can this match end, right? You got Megan Bain in there, Saori and Shuri doing great stuff. Yuna and Mirai are just crushing each other with lariats. But of course it ends with Megan Bain it wasn't Megan Bain, it was Sorianu with the pottering on Saki Kashima. I thought there was one point where they did tease she was going to F5 poor Saki Kashima, and she might have wound up very much like her former tag partner in Fuki and Death, you know, floating in the air, but she might have been. That's not for me, brother. But I thought that match was really good. It was my second favorite match of the show. I had it in 3/3/4 stars, but my favorite match of the show was the main event of the Stars team of Mayu, Hazuki, Hanan versus Starlight Kid, Ruaka, and Natsuko Tora. Tora just continues to impress me. Ever since she kind of got off to a little bit of a slower start, and we knew she would with that knee injury in the 2022 Gasa Stardom Tag League, but it really seemed like she's picked up a lot of momentum going in and coming out of the 5-star Grand Prix. Her and Momo Watanabe as a tag team, they were great. You know, we mentioned a few weeks ago they had a great title challenge against Aphrodite at Dream Queendom, and here as part of the 6-person team with Starlight Kid and Ruaka, I thought was really good. They did a great job highlighting Starlight Kid in this match to really pump her up. You know, as she's getting ready to challenge Saori Anu for that Wonder of Stardom Championship. Yeah, really good match. That was my favorite match of the show. And again, they very much liked it in the Wonder Rumble in Corkin Hall. They did a great job spotlighting Starlight Kid versus Hanan. So maybe that's a match somewhere we'll get down the line. Considering the fact that their combined age is like 41, I'm assuming that that's a feud we're going to be seeing for a major championship somewhere in the next 2 or 3 years. 3/3/4 stars for me, my friend.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be disappointed if we saw that anywhere, really. That Hanan and Starlight Kid partnership, you can really build on that now. You know, you've already got them facing off as part of this 13th anniversary tag match. You can build on the fact that it was Starlight Kid who eliminated Hanan last to face Soriano for the white belt. The chemistry is fantastic. I think, you know, you've got that additional heat between, you know, Hazuki and Natsuko Tora. They always have really, really, really fiery matches. There's history with Awedatai. There's history with Natsuko Tora being Hazuki's final match before retirement. Mayu and Natsuko Tora, Mayu and Starlight Kid. You know, that sort of partnership is always going to be great, and it was here. I thought that was a really interesting thing you just brought up. Saoriano versus Shuri for the white belt. Because I believe the white belt is the only belt in Stardom that Shuri hasn't held apart from the high speed belt. You know, that she's eligible. Future. That she's eligible.
Damn it.
Beat you to it.
You knew I was going to go. You're like, Matt, walk through this door. I'm going to slam it in your face. Bam. See, the Dom Fry fight has... The Don Fry fight has really made you a more aggressive person. I love it.
And I think that's for the best. I think it's what was needed was certainly to up my aggression level ahead of this football match tonight. Oh, my God. Anyway, so it's interesting because there's such a clash of styles there between Saoriano and Shuri. And I think they would complement each other so well. But also, who would you have win? Shuri is incredibly well protected, you know, aside from the loss to Mayu, which I think everyone expected. You know, a loss to Mayu isn't going to harm anyone in Stardom. It's Mayu. But would you want Shuri ultimately? And I know this is going a little bit off track. You look at what we call Grand Slam champions, and I know, you know, without winning the high speed belt, Shuri isn't going to be one, but this is about as close as you're going to get. Do you think Shuri deserves to be a Grand Slam champion? Do you think she deserves to be looked on in that same sort of breath as, you know, as Io and Mayu?
Rob, I'm going to play devil's advocate, and I'm going to say that no matter which way you go, it's a win-win. You can go the old TLD. You can. Does Shuri deserve to answer your question? Does she deserve to be a Grand Slam champion? Absolutely. Again, a lot of this when it comes to when I'm watching this, kind of in my own bubble, a lot of stuff I'll refer to my wife to, and she's very big on Shuri winning the world of the Wonder of Stardom championship, just based on what Saya did with the belt in 2022 and then what Shuri did with the red belt in 2022. Like, why wouldn't you build Shuri up? And so it's just going to make that belt better. Like when Io won back the white belt after she had that mammoth run with the red belt, you just made the white belt that much more important. And then she loses to Momo after they built Momo back up in the beginning of 2018. It would almost be kind of like the similar psychology here, that now it's like you can now it's like you have a belt on Shuri, you have the white belt on Shuri that has been built up really, really well, really in its entire history, but really since 2018, it's just been hit after hit after hit after hit with the Wonder of Stardom Championship. And now you can literally main event any show, any pay-per-view with her with the Wonder of Stardom Championship. And you're making her Grand Slam champion. On the other side, if Sayori Anno is signed full-time to Stardom, you have Sayori Anno go over Shuri clean, in which I'm sure will be nothing short of an instant classic. And then you're building not only Sayori Anno up more, but you're building the white belt up even more, considering the fact that you're beating one of the greatest wrestlers, not just in Stardom, but in all of wrestling, coming off a phenomenal run with the red belt back in 2022. If that's the way that they go with it, again, it's a win-win-win. Or they could just be like, we don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to have it go 30 minutes. I'm not going to say no to a 30-minute match with Sayori Anno and Shuri, but I would... Again, Stardom does a great job building these matches up, these multi-person matches, and a good chunk of that match was Shuri versus Sayori Anno. And I don't know if just when they were putting it together, that's what made the most sense, or if it's somewhere where they're going down the line. Regardless, I thought it was very interesting to see the two of them pair up.
Let me change the question then. Do you think she will win the white belt one day, or do you think there is too many in the queue already for the white belt? You know, we've talked so long and hard about Hazuki. We've talked about, you know, Starlight Kid needing that moment. We've talked about the elevation of Azumi. Of course, Sayori Anno is currently holding the belt, which brings Natsupoi into that conversation. If you are Stardom, where does Shuri sit in that pecking order for the white belt?
Yes and yes, Rob. I think she will win the white belt, but there is too many people in the queue, maybe in a year or two, depending on what she wants to do. Again, we don't know. We see a lot of movement with some of these Stardom wrestlers over the last handful of years. I think she's perfect for the Stardom hard-hitting Japanese style, but maybe she kind of wants to do what Nakamura did and kind of slow down her style and go over to the States and learn more of the American style. Shuri's talented enough that she can do really anything she wants, and she can go anywhere she wants. I do see her winning the white belt maybe in a year or two. Again, because we have so many in the queue. We have Natsupoi. It looks like she's lined up. Rob, who knows? Maybe Starlight Kid gets it. We thought Starlight Kid, there was a lot. I mean, we did the alternate commentary on Starlight Kid versus Saya Kamatani for the white belt about a month or so ago. And I remember going into that match and watching that match. They could have pulled the trigger any second to put on Starlight Kid. We thought she was ready 2 years ago. And considering the fact that Sayori Anno isn't supposedly signed, maybe this is just a transitional run to get the white belt onto Starlight Kid. Again, and we'll talk about that more in our preview show in a few weeks, but maybe it's Starlight Kid. Maybe it's Natsupoi. You know, Mina still needs and has earned that long run. Speaking of earning, nobody's earned that white belt more than Hazuki. So that's all in the mix. But then you throw in the next year or so, you throw Shuri in the mix. Think about this, Robin, all the fantastic listeners of the Stardom cast. Think in the next 18 to 24 months, your white belt picture is Mirai, Sayori Anno, Natsupoi, Hazuki, Mina Shirakawa, Shuri, Starlight Kid, Hanan. Come on, folks. That's just money printing money. I mean, really.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
And the human Cadillac, Dorian DeVille.
There you go.
He's going to probably challenge for the red belt, though. I mean, come on.
Again, we need that main event for April, don't we? Let's be honest. I've heard rumors that he is available for the Philadelphia show, so who knows? Let's move on then. Let's talk about this first night of the doubleheader from Osaka. 13th of January 2024, as I've already mentioned, that mammoth day of wrestling, New Year Stars 2024 in Osaka, day one from the Edion Arena, Osaka. Azteca Stadium number 2 in front of 290 people. Before we get into the matches and the results, there was quite a few empty seats, Matt, that I noticed in this crowd. And this is usually an arena where Stardom draw relatively well. So was that surprising to you?
Yeah, it really was. And considering the fact that it's back-to-back nights, and considering the fact that, again, the second night we were supposed to have that big main event for the Goddess of Stardom Championship. And again, I don't know what the draw was or what the seats looked like for the second night. Obviously, Suzu had to pull out at his last minute, so I'm assuming most of the seats were already bought. But considering the fact that, again, we've been covering these shows for years and years, and these shows usually in Osaka are usually pretty packed. So and this show was an excellent show. So I don't understand what was the reason for the lower draw.
No, it was because the empty seats were noticeable, and unfortunately they were on the cam when wrestlers were walking to the ring. So something to keep an eye on. They did draw a few more tonight too, if only 9 more. But yeah. Interesting. Anyway, results are as follows. We opened the singles match. Yuna Mizumori defeated Rani Yagami with a lariat in 7 minutes and 8 seconds. Mei Sakurai defeated Lady C with the Maipan roll in 6 minutes and 51 seconds. The Queen's Quest team of Utami Hayashishita and Miyu Amasaki defeated Sayaka Karora and Mina Shirakawa. Utami pinning Sayaka Karora in 7 minutes and 28 seconds. 6-woman tag match next. The Uedatai team of Natsukatora Ruwaka and Fukikan Death defeated Mei Seira, Hanako, and Yuzuki with the O'Connor roll. Fukikan Death pinning Mei Seira because it is a multi-woman, and you never, ever bet against the clown in a multi-woman in 7 minutes and 6 seconds. This obviously set up the challenge for the high-speed belt. The Stars team then of Mayu Iwatani, Hazuki, Hanan, and Saya Ida defeated the God's Eye team of Shiori Murai, Amisori, and Saki Kashima. Hanan getting the pinfall over Saki with the backdrop hold in 11 minutes and 37 seconds. We were never going to go 2 Stardom shows in a row without a time limit draw, and that's what we got here. The first prelude match, the Wonder of Stardom prelude match, Sayori Anno and Suzu Suzuki versus Black Desire, Starlight Kid, Momo Watanabe, ended in a 15-minute time limit draw. And then in your main event, Divine Kingdom, Micah and Megan Bain defeated Queen's Quest, Saya Kamatani and Azumi, with Megan Bain pinning Azumi in 14 minutes and 26 seconds with the F5. Couple of things then from this show. First thing is those top 2 matches are great. Those are the 2 matches you absolutely need to check out. We're going to talk about those in a moment. Yuna Mizumori getting a pinfall victory, something we don't see very often. Someone who did extremely well last year without a lot of recognition. Obviously, this match set up Fukikan Death versus Mei Seira. And then, of course, we had Hanan getting the pinfall over Saki Kashima, which ultimately means, Matt, that Saya Ida won a match, my friend, on the anniversary of her 5 years in pro wrestling. Praise the wrestling heavens.
Yes, sir.
Now, for you, which did you prefer? The main event or the semi-main event?
I preferred the main event, but it's okay if I go back to correct you on one little thing that's actually going to be somewhat important, Mr. Rob Goodwin.
What have I done wrong, good sir?
Oh, it's A-okay. I don't blame you. It's probably just the information that you got it from. But you said that Fukin Death defeated Mei Seira with the O'Connor roll. She actually didn't. She defeated her by countering the Rolling Star, which is Mei Seira's go-to finishing hold, which is interesting because I think that's going to play a role in a 2.9999 count in their high-speed championship, because that I was like, oh, wow, this is very interesting, because Mei Seira does not eat a lot of falls, especially not unless it's like a Julia, a Megan Bain, so on and so forth. So they were going back and forth with their high-speed stuff towards the end. And again, Fukin Death, and I mentioned at the beginning of the show, was on point. She was fantastic. And then Mei Seira does the Rolling Star, which I still don't know physically how it's possible. And when she rolled her over, Fukin Death rolled all the way back over and stacked her for the 3 count. So I think that's going to play a role into a falsy that I think a lot of people are going to bite on. So with that being said, Mr. Rob Goodwin, I'll tell you right now, I gave the co-main event 4 stars and I gave the main event 4.25 stars. I like the main event a little bit more. I think they did a great job on both matches building towards the Wonder of Stardom Championship match and the World of Stardom Championship match. And that was the whole purpose. It literally said on the graphic, that's the prelude match. But I'm more pumped up for the Saya Kamatani versus Megan Bain match. I think the co-main event, I leaned a little bit more with Mobo. Again, Starlight Kid and Soriano is going to be great. And they had great interactions in the match. But there was a part of me that I was like, I really want to see Mo versus Soriano at the Wonder of Stardom Championship match. Maybe this because I'm just a huge fan of Momo Watanabe. But I thought there was a little bit more of Momo versus Sayori than Sayori versus Starlight Kid, which, don't get me wrong, is going to be great. But the Saya Kamatani and Micah interactions in this main event, again, we talked about it last week. Their match in 2022 for the Wonder of Stardom Championship match was amazing. I put a YouTube video up. It was my match of the week of last week. Go out of your way to watch it. And they did a great job building up this match. Obviously, Saya and Izumi. And I think I was going to text you, and I was like, I'll just talk to him on the podcast. Like, this Queen's Quest trio of these top three, and I mentioned it all the time, and I know I sound like a broken record. Obviously, Saya and Utami's the top tag team. But when you kind of mix it up and you have Saya and Izumi, or Izumi and Utami, it's still phenomenal. Even Izumi, Lady C, O2 line of Izumi and Miyu. Even the trio of Lady C, Miyu, and Rina. Hina is fantastic as well. But like Saya and Izumi here, like, they just don't miss. They are fantastic. And everything they did with Megan Bain, the match is really good. And again, God bless Izumi, because like Micah tags into Megan Bain, and Izumi goes to Saya Kamatani. I got this. It's like, I got this, kid. You don't worry about anything. And like, Megan Bain's a good like 7-8 inches bigger than Izumi. And Izumi's staring up at her. And again, instead of using her at high speed, what does she do? She just starts forearming Megan Bain. Like, yeah, keep punching that building, you know? Like, let's see if it's going to happen. And again, it's Izumi. I'm never going to, you know, tell Izumi how to wrestle. But I thought that was a really good dynamic. But a good majority of the match was just Saya versus Micah. And again, if that's a preview of what we're getting in 2 weeks, my friend, again, you're looking at another potential match of the year candidate already from Stardom. So, but how about you, my friend?
Oh, the main event, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, the dynamic between Megan Bain and Izumi was fantastic. It was very akin to a Smurf trying to knock over a Portaloo. it was pretty incredible. But the history between Saya Kamatani and Micah is what does this for me. You are building this generational rivalry which can span so many years. It's already spanned so many belts, so many tournaments and things. And I think, you know, this final thing for the red belt can be something that is something you can constantly go back to. And there was a nice little bit in the press conference, which I didn't actually go into, which is when Micah was talking about how, you know, she won the belt from Suzu Suzuki, or she won the belt, the vacant belt. And she was talking about how she wants to beat Saya Kamatani with her own moveset, as in Micah's own moveset, moves she uses all the time. She doesn't want to have to break out something new. She wants to beat, she wants to prove that she can beat Saya Kamatani. And I think that's a really cool little story beat as well. Is Micah going to have to resort to something new to put Saya Kamatani away? Or can she beat Saya Kamatani with her standard offense? And I think that's a really cool story beat going in. I did enjoy the exchanges between Soriano and Starlight Kid, but I think, you know, as I've already mentioned, the generational rivalry, the golden generation rivalry, and that history going into it, just it appeals more to me than just the Anu and Starlight Kid rivalry, which of course was primarily built from Starlight Kid winning the Rumble. However, that being said, both women gel really, really well. Whichever way they try to go, whether they go for a slightly more hard-hitting one, which they had some really hard-hitting slap exchanges in this matchup, like quite surprising, or whether they try to go a high-speed route or an athletic route, both women are capable of doing both those styles. Yes, you had more Momo Watanabe and Suzu Suzuki in this match, so the focus wasn't drawn away from it slightly, but I still think that was a really good match. I think I gave that match 3 3/4, and then I gave the main event 4, because I thought both matches were great. Both did exactly what they put on the tin. the history behind that main event is what makes it for me. However, in ring, I know Soriano and Starlight Kid will bring it, and they will achieve a fantastic match. I am sure of it. And I know that, Matt, we're going to be talking about the Supreme Fight pay-per-view in a couple of weeks. I believe it's the week after next. I'm just trying to get my calendar up. Yeah, it's the week after next. So we'll be giving our predictions and stuff then. But as it sits right now, do you see the white belt or the red belt changing hands? Do you see any potential surprises coming out of those two matches?
Before I answer your question, I just want to say that we talked a lot about Momo, Starlight Kid, and Sayori in that match. Suzu Suzuki was amazing as well. Suzu and Momo violence, yes, please.
Yes, absolutely.
Anywho, obviously this is not my official prediction. We will get into that. If you watch Stardom, you know they don't like to hot shot their championships, especially the red belt and the white belt. Mike and Serrano, they just won it at the big show at the end of the year. No one really expects either of them to drop it. However, put a little doubt in everybody's mind here, just to get everybody thinking. Again, Serrano is not a, supposedly is not a contract wrestler to Stardom. I really hope she does sign a contract soon if she hasn't already. Maybe this is just a hot shot to put the belt on to Starlight Kid. Or maybe they think that there's more money in a Soriano versus Starlight Kid match than there would a Mirai or Starlight Kid. That maybe they think that Starlight Kid's championship match will be better with Soriano versus Mirai. Again, I don't know that. I'm just kind of just throwing it out there. So I'm just kind of putting that, put a little down, a little speculation in everybody's head. Now, as far as the World of Stardom Championship, Rob, you remember it was heavily rumored and almost confirmed that one Saya Kamatani was supposed to win the five-star Grand Prix last year, thus main eventing against Tam Nakano. Now, we don't know who was going to walk out of Sumo Hall with the World of Stardom Championship. Maybe it was Saya Kamatani. Maybe they're like, okay, now we have Saya back. She's full strength. She's crushing it with the Goddess of Stardom Championship. This was going to be the plan all along. This is the chance to get the belt back to her. Again, that's not my official prediction. But again, stranger things in pro wrestling have happened, my friend. Stranger things have happened.
I think of the two belts, the Y belt is certainly more likely to switch hands. You talked about the hot shotting. There are only, if I can just get my facts correct, there are only, not including Soriano, obviously, there are only three title reigns out of 19, again, not counting Soriano, that have been under 100 days. Okay? Three out of 19 have been under 100 days. Two of those were back-to-back in 2023 in Mina Shirakawa and Tam Nakano. Now, I know that we were coming off the back of the 480-day reign of Saya Kamatani, and obviously we've just had the 180-day reign of Mirai. Do you think they will go for another hot shot? I mean, that will make it, I believe, the shortest white belt reign ever.
Again, it's not my official prediction, because we'll say that for the for when we do our preview. Okay. I don't think so. If you're asking me right now, I don't think either of those belts are changing hands.
No.
However, kind of what I just said before, it kind of does set up that there is a possibility. But regardless, both these matches are going to be great. That whole entire show, and we still don't have – what's Suzuki doing? You mentioned – and I didn't know this until you mentioned at the start of the show – that Kagama is going to be somewhere in attendance for that show. Is she cleared? Do we see an FWC match on that show? We don't have Saida on that show. There's a lot of again, there's only six matches that are announced. They could potentially do a tag match or a six-person match or one or two leading up to it. So I'm super jazzed for this show. I mean, Stardom is really firing on all cylinders since the end of the year going into the beginning of this year.
Yeah, definitely. I like the thought of Mirai and Saya Kamatani. I mean, not Mirai and Saya Kamatani. Micah and Saya Kamatani. Would they do a time? I mean, I don't want them to do a time limit draw. I'd like them to go 29:40, 29:30, and really drill home that story that these two are about as equal as it is ever going to get. And I think that story you know, will then help to, or that story beat will help the storyline endure even longer. I don't think either belt is changing hands either, if I'm being brutally honest. But again, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Matt, is there anything else on this card that you would like to talk about, good sir?
No, I think that was it. And again, I mentioned before, again, Mina and Sayaka worked really well together and was even better here against Miyu and Otami. But really, those last three matches are kind of the ones to go to. And again, you know, I would, if you have time, definitely watch the exchanges between Fukin Death and Mei Sarah, because you're just like, wow. I mean, if this, again, I think it's going to be a five, 6 minute shot out of a cannon match that we're going to get. And I'm super excited for it. But no, I think we talked about enough, especially those two main event matches were well worth your time and your money.
Right then. In that case, ladies and gentlemen, we are actually almost done. Which is quite scary considering the fact that we've only been going an hour and a half. Sorry, Colin. But, Matt Turner, before we go anywhere, you know what time it is, in the words of Limp Bizkit. It's EO and Kairi Watch.
Absolutely, my friend. And very much like the show. Kind of not, I mean, not like the show. The show was fantastic. We gave a lot of information. This is going to be very quick as well because they didn't do much on this show, my friend. They didn't do much. Bianca Belair had a match with Bayley, and it was great. Bayley's fantastic. Bianca Belair is one of the best wrestlers in the world, one of the better women's wrestlers. Not only women's wrestlers, one of the best wrestlers under a WWE contract. They have a really good match. Of course, Bayley comes out with all members of Damage Control, Io, Kairi, Asuka, and Dakota Kai. Bianca doesn't come out with anybody. So I'm watching this match, and as it's unfolding, like, there's going to be some interference. There's going to be some interference. And literally all of Damage Control, they are only parked in front of the commentary table. They don't move around any of the corners, nothing. There's one point where Bianca gets thrown towards the floor towards the end of the match, and Bayley starts yelling to the members of Damage Control, get her, get her, get her. And the ref sees the signal being called, and he goes over, stares at Damage Control, and threatens to throw them out. But he can't because they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. Bianca gets back in the match. They are back in the ring. They go back and forth. Bianca hits the KOD, pins Bayley clean in the ring. They go to a backstage segment where Bayley was just like, how come you guys didn't help me? How come you didn't help me? Dakota Kai was like, the ref was watching. We didn't want you to get DQ'd or get the squad or for us to get thrown out. And then Dakota Kai basically takes Bayley aside and says, look, like, you got to win the Royal Rumble. Like, we know your vision. Your vision is for Io to be the champion on SmackDown and for Asuka and Kairi to win the tag belts and then for you to win the Royal Rumble and then go over to Raw and win the Raw belt at WrestleMania. Like, you need to start putting wins together back and forth. So it does seem like they're planting the seeds for somewhat of a breakup. Again, I'm assuming Bayley wins the Rumble, and then instead of challenging Rhea Ripley, she challenges Io in the match that we get in Philly. Again, that's really it. There was not much interaction with Io and Kairi, but it was a really good match with Bayley and Bianca Belair, as I'm a big fan of both those wrestlers.
Thank you very much. So next week, ladies and gentlemen, we will be bringing you the show from the 14th with that special tag between Aphrodite and something's just fallen. I don't know what that was. Terrifying, but there we are. Aphrodite versus Azumi and Mei Sarah. We're also going to talk to you about the awards weekend, including the Artist of Stardom Challenge from Stars and the High Speed Championship match between Mei Sarah and Fukin Death. All of that is to come next week, all in as we continue the road to Stardom Supreme Fight. But, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of this relatively short episode of the Stardom Cast. I just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone that listens to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to support us, you can by leaving us a review and a comment on the podcast app of your choice. We are physically everywhere, so it truly does help us out. If you are a Patreon, thank you very, very much. Your support is incredible and we cannot thank you enough. patreon.com/thestardomcast if you want to support us further and have even more episodes with me and Matt talking nonsense over the top of them. You can also check out the website, www.thestardomcast.weebly.com, which I am hoping to get the domain www.thestardomcast.com and attach it to that website. So fingers crossed that will be happening in the next couple of weeks as well. I'm constantly updating those spreadsheets so that you have got all of the information you need to start getting into Stardom. So please check those out. If you want to talk to me on Twitter, you can at Real Rob Goodwin. If you want to find the Stardom Cast anywhere on social media or indeed on YouTube, you can just type in the Stardom Cast and you will find us. Matt Turner, sounds off good, sir.
Absolutely. Don't forget, folks, to check out our merchandise page. Rob has updated with some fancy new graphics, including our new logo is on a t-shirt and a pullover hoodie. Now, I do want to make mention, I know there's a lot of the listeners that are going to the show in Philadelphia WrestleMania weekend. If we pull up to the ECW arena and you are wearing a Stardom Cast shirt and or hoodie, I will personally buy you a beer, or if you're not a beer drinker of age, or a drink. So again, I know there's a lot of people that are inquiring about the shirts. You want to wear them to the ECW arena for their Stardom show? Come over, you know, show, hey, Matt, look, I got the shirt. We'll take a selfie, whatever you want. I will buy you a drink. Now, speaking of the new logos, I accidentally ordered too many of the new logo, the colored version of our new logo on the stickers. I ordered one for on the Stardom Cast email. And then my personal email. And I was like, I don't even know how I did that. I couldn't do that if you paid me. So what I'm trying to say, folks, is I'm going to have a lot of these stickers. I will be shipping these stickers out domestically for $2 shipped per sticker. So if anybody wants the new Stardom Cast logo on the colored version, just send me a message and I will ship those out to you for $2 a sticker. If you want more than one sticker or if you want the black and white version, let me know. We'll work something out. With that being said, folks, thank you so much for your support. We greatly appreciate it. Any questions, comments, anything you need from me, hit me up on the Instagram and or the Twitter. It's Matt Turner OF, again, on the Instagram and or the Twitter. You want to shoot me an email, that's perfectly fine as well. TheStardomCast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via email. Folks, thanks again. Greatly appreciate the support. Appreciate all the new listeners of the podcast. Can't do this without you, because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast. Because we're all us together, and everybody's different, everybody's special.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.